If you have a bloodless religion, then it's self-righteousness.
That's right.
It's self-righteousness because the blood that was shed at Calvary places us all where we're supposed to be. Amen. All right, folks, if you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 27 with me tonight, please. Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27 and verse number 38. Matthew 27, 38. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest mocking him with the scribes and the elders said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Verse number 43. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Then in verse 44, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Father, bless your holy word now. Blessed as it goes forth. It's not the word of man. It didn't come from man. This is your word. God, what a privilege I have tonight to get up and speak from this book. Bless it, Lord, in thy holy name. Amen. Amen. This three men on the cross. I don't think the people that were there this day had any idea how much that this was going to affect all the future humanity. I don't believe they had a clue. I believe what you have are some Jewish elders, Pharisees and Sadducees and the rest of them that wanted to get rid of this man. And that was their sole purpose. They had no idea they were fulfilling Scripture. They thought when they put him to death that they'd shut up, they'd quietened, they'd done away with the people of this way. And so here we are. The Bible says from 6 o'clock in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, there's darkness on the earth. God was shaking the earth. He hung on the cross for six hours. There's two thieves with him, one on one hand, one on the other. The Bible says they went by, they reviled him, wagging their heads. And then they said, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. What they didn't realize what they were doing was preaching. They were preparing somebody for something here this day. John chapter number 2 verse 18 says, Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What signs showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. And of course we know who built this temple. It was Herod the Great. He added to it Solomon's temple, the temple of Zerubbabel really. And he added to it and embellished it. And so it was all a political move. He was patronizing the Jews. Herod the Great was an abomination, and he was a pagan as you can be. But he's the one that built it. He added to it. Don't ever fret over the fact that God may use a pagan. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they'd been there 400 years. Have you ever read in the Bible where they carried out with them gold and silver? You ought to go back and read that. They carried the wealth of the Egyptians. Why'd they do that? Because for one thing, they'd been slaves. But for another, God was going to use that. He was going to use that money. And so you say, well, it came from a pagan source. It's making a difference. God's the Father. The wealth, all the wealth is in his hands, and he gives it to whomsoever he will, however he chooses to do it. So these wagging of the head and the mockery and the reviling him, And then the Bible, I want you to call your attention to verse 44. It's very important. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Note carefully, not just one of them, both of them. They mocked him. They screamed at him. I can understand how that they could have been very frustrated and hurting. Crucifixion is a horrible death. It's a terrible thing. Crucifixion was thought up by somebody that was inhuman. There's no humanity about it whatsoever. It's a slow, agonizing death. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ had to die this death. He told Peter and the disciples that he has to go to Jerusalem and be delivered into the hands of the religious authorities and then die and the third day rise from the dead. Peter said, "Be it not so, Lord." No way. Now we're not going to have that. Peter was reasoning from physical reasoning. He was reasoning from doing what was right, reasoning from doing what was good. He was using human reasoning. Human reasoning wasn't worth a dime. For the Lord said, "Get behind me, Satan. Thou savorest not the things that be of God." So what we have is learning something about how God communicates with us. I hear an awful lot of human reasoning. You know, I hear an awful lot from people, "Well, I just feel this way," or "I feel that way." Folks, that's a waste of your time and a waste of your breath. Why don't you just read what God said in His Word? Because His Word comes from a mind that is infinitely and eminently greater than my mind. But not only is the Word of God coming from God in the sense that it comes from one so much higher than us, every word of God is given to us for instruction. It's given to us for salvation. The Scripture is given to us for comfort. The Word of God is given to us to give us light. All of these things come from the Scripture. And the Scripture, therefore, is a living thing. It's quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So I want you to imagine now where it's dark. We have a thief on one hand and a thief on the other. The Lord Jesus has been speaking from this cross. And while He's up here speaking from this cross, one of these malefactors listened to Him. He listened to Him. And it's important to understand the context of it, because then you can understand just exactly what's going on. Listen to the words of a wise man about the crucifixion. He said, "At 9 o'clock that morning, they nailed this man, cursing, fighting, screaming, to his cross. Not long afterwards, they broke his legs and hurled him into eternity. He went straight to paradise. He was not baptized, confirmed, or enrolled in any church. He confessed to no priest, although there were plenty standing by. He did no penance. He had no claim to moral character. He did not ask Mary, the Virgin Mary, to pray for him, even though she was right there. He called on none of the saints. He was a lost soul on his way to an imminent hell, when suddenly he flung his soul at Jesus' feet. He heard the gospel from Christ's enemies. The enemy said he saved others." They didn't mean it in the sense of salvation, but God turned it and used it in that sense. You have to understand, God can overrule anything and anybody at any place at any time. He's the Lord. He can take a thing that looks like it's absolutely opposed to God, absolutely of the devil, absolutely wicked and vile and godless, and it may have been. And it might have been, and the motive behind it could have been that. But God can turn it around for the glory of God. God can do that. Don't you know that Satan sometimes feels so totally inadequate, inept, weak, and destroyed? He turned in wondrous faith to Jesus, and he was saved instantly. Then and there, on the same grounds, in the same way anyone is saved, he received immediate assurance of his salvation too. For the Lord said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Now, I want you to, a wise man said one time, he said, a person said, "Give me the light. Show me where the light is." And he says this when he's looking into the darkness. He's trying to find the light. Folks, God's already given you the light. Turn your eyes on Jesus. When you see Him, you see the light of God. Turn your eye away from Him and look at the church, look at yourself, look at religion, look at any of the rest of it, and you're looking at darkness. He's the light. And only insofar as the church exalts the light, of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there any light in the church?
Yes.
And as long as my life exalts the Son of God, then there is light in my life. But if all I do is talk about me and me and mine and I, folks, I'm giving you death and darkness. We need the light, and Christ is the light. And don't you think it's quite a thing when in darkness he spoke to the Son of God? He turned his head to the sound that he heard. You see, Christ was speaking from that cross. He turned his head toward that sound. Now the one on there that screamed and yelled and cursed and blasphemed him, far as we know, died. They broke their legs and he died without God. He died in condemnation. He died lost. So his circumstances of suffering and sorrow, and folks, it doesn't get any worse than that. I don't know of a worse death, and there's some bad ones out there, no doubt about that. But this is a horrible, long, drawn-out thing. It didn't bring him to repentance. It didn't get his heart right. I've heard a lot of human wisdom say, well, if God just put them through such and such, you know, they'd wake up and give God the glory and get saved. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. They have Moses and the prophets. If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they listen to one that rises from the dead. And that's one of the greatest miracles there is, to rise from the dead. So where does salvation come from? Notice carefully what this thief said. This is important too. Here's what the thief said. Chapter number 23 of Luke, in verse 32. Luke 23, verse number 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. So now Luke is recording the same event that Matthew records. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. So at this point, they're both screaming and cursing against Christ. Both of them are. Nothing but vile, vicious accusations coming from their mouths. Why? Because they're condemned. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you've got a filthy mouth, you've got a filthy heart. You don't need to clean your mouth up. That's you trying to perform your righteousness. You can, and you know, the old timers used to wash mouths out with soap. You know, they meant well. You know, if you got a filthy mouth, wash it out. But that's not the issue, folks. That's just a symptom. You got to go to the heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Note carefully now. In verse number 34 of Luke 23, then said Jesus, Father. He's speaking to the Father now. Father, Abba, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't you know that thief heard that? Don't you know he heard that? Yeah, he heard it. And he thought to himself, now wait a minute, this man's hurting and suffering just like I am. I mean, he's in the same fix I'm in. He's just as bad off as I am. But he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. Thief heard that too. He heard how he'd saved others. Not only had he heard of his humility and his heart, he had also heard about what he was able to do. And the people stood beholding, the rulers said, deriding him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. He be the Christ, the chosen of God, the Mashiach. The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar. Everybody's against him. And saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Soldiers were saying that to him. We're talking about Gentiles, pagan, Roman soldiers. Mocked him, save thyself. And then a superscription was also written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. These are the three languages. Greek was the common language of the street and cells. Latin was the language of the Romans, and Hebrew was the language of the temple. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the male factors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God?" Now the door is opened. It's beginning to open. This is what's missing in the churches today. No fear of God.
Amen.
You've been told how beautiful you are. You've been told how wonderful you are. You've been told how you deserve the best. You've been told how that the rich God can make you rich. That's what you've been told. And I say you, I'm speaking in generalities. I think most of the people here at Temple are accustomed to hearing the truth. But I'm preaching to a lot of people who don't come to Temple. And they'll listen to this. They'll listen to it at home. They'll listen to it, watch it on TV or whatever. That's what's wrong. You've been told too much about how great you are. This man feared God now. Something's beginning to change. Let me show you why he feared God. Verse 41. "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're getting somewhere. We're getting to the point now when a man has admitted and confessed that what he did, he deserved what he got. He's confessing from the heart. He's confessing that he's lost. He's confessing that he's receiving justice. He's confessing now before God. And that changes his attitude toward Christ.
Amen.
You can't have the Father without the Son. You can't have the Son without the Father.
Amen.
If you glorify the Father, you'll glorify the Son. If you glorify the Son, you'll glorify the Father.
Yes.
When you say you love God and you reject Christ, you've deceived yourself.
Yeah.
It's impossibility. And notice now he says, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus. That's the next step. There's nowhere else to go. You know, he didn't say, of course, obviously he's on the cross, but he didn't say, "Well, I'm going to straighten my life up and I'm going to do better and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to work toward being a good person." And you'd be amazed how many people out there, you say, "What does it mean to be saved?" Well, it means to be saved. It means that we live a good life. We're good people. We treat people right. And that's not salvation. That's not salvation. That's your own righteousness. Note carefully. He said unto Jesus, "Lord." Lord. "No man calleth him Lord but by the Holy Ghost." That's what it says. That's what it says. Now, a lot of people call him Lord in the sense that they just intellectually, he's the Lord. But when you speak from the heart and call him Lord, that's coming from the Holy Ghost. This means that the Holy Spirit was right here working on that man's heart. He said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now, if all he knew about Christ was what he knew of him hanging on the cross, and we have no reason to believe any more than that. I don't know if the scripture's silent about whether he knew anything about him before, if he'd even heard his name before. But this man on that cross, when he saw his heart, "Father, forgive them." He heard what they said. He saved others. Save yourself. He saw the other thief railing and screaming. And he thought to himself, "Well, he's going to die and I'm going to die. What's it going to accomplish for him? What's he going to get from this? He's going to die and he has no hope." And so he began to think within his heart, "I've done wrong. I deserve what God's doing to me. For it's God ultimately that I have to answer to. Dost thou not fear God?" And then I love this. "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Barely able to speak, so weak, in such horrible pain, unbelievable pain, he responds, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Folks, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about our program. It's not about our preacher. It's not about our mission board or missionaries. It's not about, about what we've accomplished for Christ. It's not about our great men. It's about the Son of God. If we get Him right and put Him who He's supposed to be, all of this other stuff will be okay. It'll take its place. It'll work. It'll work. It'll work. It'll be all right. But if you don't get Christ right, the rest of it is just busy work. It's busy work. There's no power in it. You see, the power comes from the Son of God. If I be lifted up from the earth, He said, I will draw all men unto me. Well, now He's being lifted up right here. But He was speaking into the future. And He was saying, as the Apostle Paul said when he came to the church at Corinth, I know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. Whether I baptized Him, I don't know. Didn't pay much attention to it. Doesn't mean a thing to me. I came to you to preach Christ and Him crucified. That's what he said. That's all he cared about. In other words, adultery and lying and murder and fornication and thievery and all the rest of the sins, every one of them, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I keep saying this and keep saying it and keep saying it. Say, what do you mean? They meet their end. That's it. They're done for. When they come, when you remember the Pharisees, they had this woman, buddy, they drugged her, they brought her, they had probably by the hair, the head. And I mean, they drug her in there, buddy, and they threw her down before the Lord and said, Moses and the prophet said such ought to be stoned to death. Drug her into the Lord. I say, Mr. Pharisee, if you hate somebody, don't bring them to Christ. That's the last place you want to take a sinner if you're mad at them. Because, you see, their motive was altogether wrong. It showed you how ignorant they were. He's the friend of sinners. Sinners either get saved or very uncomfortable around the Lord Jesus Christ. You ever notice it? You start preaching Christ and exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, and some of them puff up. You know. That's so sad. Instead, you ought to be lifting up, be glorifying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Him. I don't love me. I love Him. He inspires me. Everything I've ever learned about Him has always blessed my soul. I've never learned anything about the Lord Jesus Christ that's ever depressed me or let me down or caused me to fail. Nothing. Nothing. He is everything. You say, well, I'm a sinner. Then do exactly what the Pharisees did. Let them drag you to Christ. And once you come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, don't try to clean your act up. Don't tell Him how you're going to live better. Don't come down here at the altar and say, well, now, Lord, I want to be a Christian, so I'm going to do some things out here. I'm going to change some. No, you're not. What you need to do is to come down here and reach out and take hold of that nail-scarred foot that He's standing on, or that nail-scarred hand that He'll reach down and take hold of you. And you ought to say to Him, Lord Jesus, I have absolutely no hope. I'm a complete failure. I'm addicted to sin. I'm lost without God. And Lord Jesus, You're my last hope. If You can't save me, there is no salvation. Lord Jesus, please save my soul. You'll get saved if you start talking like that. You will. You will. But here's the thing. Until you acknowledge that what you've done as a sinner is violating the law of God because you don't really fear God. You say you fear Him, but you don't really fear Him. Because the fear of God will change you. And the fear of God will lead you to Christ. Notice, he feared God before he got saved. When did he get saved, preacher? Today. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. Right up to the very end. Right up to the last words that he spoke on this earth. He's the Savior. He's the Savior. Soter in Greek. He's the Savior. There is no other Savior. He's it. Now, I want you to notice these people. Have you seen them on television with the ashes on their forehead? Yeah. Don't mock them. There will be Catholics in heaven and Baptists in hell. Amen. Digest that. Well, you mean you go to heaven because you're Catholic? No, you don't go to heaven. Neither do you go to heaven because you're a Baptist. Some of these people that have this ash on their forehead may be a true believer. Well, what about the ashes? No, that's the church they go to. Pray that God gives them light. If they are really born of the Spirit of God, and I may be talking to some of them tonight, if you truly know the Lord Jesus Christ, why do you bother with Mary? Why do you need a priest to intercede for you? Why do you have to go through all this ritual that the Catholic Church has laid on your shoulders? All you need is the Son of God. All you need is Him. And the rest of them, they can go their separate way. Now what you have is Mardi Gras. What's Mardi Gras? That's what they just had in New Orleans. Two people got killed down there. Two people. They're floats. A lot of drag queens at Mardi Gras. All kinds of perversions in Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is one of the filthiest pieces of garbage on this earth. And so Knoxville, Tennessee has its Mardi Gras. I have no idea who started it. I hope he's not a Sunday school teacher. Mardi Gras is in preparation for Ash Wednesday. What's Ash Wednesday? A time of penance, which leads up to Easter. See, it leads up. It's part of Holy Week. Easter is part of Holy Week. It's when it's, you know, it's a calendar week. Now, well, say, preachers, anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But the next week's Holy Week too, and the week before that one's Holy Week. This is Holy Week right now. This is an altar, and this is an altar. This is an altar right over here. This is holy ground.
Yes, it is.
This is holy ground. This is holy ground. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Holy Ghost are holy.
Yeah.
And anywhere you meet with them as a true believer, as a royal priesthood, you have direct access to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
If you can't love somebody like this, you can't love at all. The Son of God. Lord have mercy. I told you the other day I watched that Passion of Christ that Mel Gibson put out. Mel Gibson's a Catholic. He's a Catholic. And, you know, I don't know much about the man whatsoever, but I'll tell you this. A lot of people have been really born again by watching that movie. How many ever heard of Tommy Tillman? He's the one who slept under the bridge. He ate dog. He learned the language of Thailand. He would sleep next to and eat with the lepers. They received him. And Tommy Tillman, in my book, that missionaries don't get any higher than Tommy Tillman. And then his son, Mitch Tillman. Mitch goes off into the Gobi Desert. He goes over there and he starts witnessing and building a ministry for the Lord. All right? Both of these men told me that they had taken so many people back there 15 years ago. They had taken all these people time and time and time and time again to see the Passion of Christ. He said they've been saved. Truly born again. Remember, whether in pretense or in truth, the apostle said in Philippians 1, some supposing to add affliction to my bonds, or whatever. He says, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I rejoice. I do. This is not blank. This is not approval of the Catholic Church in any way. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If God can use the high priest, as he did over there in John chapter number 11 and 12, to give the truth out and prophesy through him, and he did, then he can speak through anybody or any way or any mode or any method that he so chooses. That's not the problem. That's not what you should worry about tonight. That shouldn't be the issue. Neither he that soweth or he that watereth anything. Is that what he said? But it's God that gives the increase, right?
Yeah.
So nothing up here preaches, and then nothing comes along after me and nothing waters. But maybe nothing came through here before and he preached, and this nothing gets up and he waters it. Are you following me?
Amen.
Neither he that soweth nor he that watereth is anything. Nothing. It's not about us. It's about him. But if he does that and he saves your soul, remember this, that you're saved because you have the Son of God. Not because somebody's waved their hand over your head, or they've ducked you into a pool of water, or they've confirmed you, or you've signed up with something. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Do you have the Son? Do you have the Son? You know, it doesn't tell us what this thief did. Who knows? And he could have been a pretty sorry character. Whatever he was sorry enough to be crucified, right? I mean, he's a pretty bad hombre. Think about it. He said, we're receiving our just reward for our deeds. Well, then apparently he figured that he deserved crucifixion. You know? And so obviously he was a bad character. Yet God saved him. Right on the spot. Notice something else. It just simply says they're malefactors. You know, they're malefactors. They got problems. The people had Barabbas given to them. Barabbas, he was given to them. Pontius Pilate. Barabbas means son of his father. John 8:44, he was the son of his father, the devil. But the idea is that when God saves you, he delivers you, he frees you, and from that moment on, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and nothing can change that. Do you know him tonight? Father, in thy name I pray. Bless your word. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Our Heavenly Father, it's so easy to come out and just pick somebody out and just blast them because you don't agree with everything they say. So easy for us to just jump up and do something like that without a clue where we came from, where we're going, and what the issue is. Not a clue. I pray we don't have that at Temple. God, give us something better than that here. I think these people in this house tonight love the Lord Jesus. And I believe with all my heart they want to exalt the Son of God. We don't have any great missionaries in here. We don't have any great preachers in here. We don't have any great pastors in here. No great movements in here. No great ones. We have the Son. My, what a difference that makes. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Son of God. Do you love him?